Ruth 1, verse 21 is our text. She says, I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. There's a very famous sailing ship of the 19th century that was called the Dreadnought. The thing that it is most famous for is the fact that it sailed backwards. In this modern mechanical age, that wouldn't be such a surprising thing for a ship to go into reverse. But remember, we're talking here about a sailing ship. It had sustained quite extensive damage to its sails and to its rudder. And the captain came up with the idea of swinging all the sails into reverse to catch the wind in the opposite direction. And he steered the ship from the rear for 280 miles until they got back to one of the ports in the Azores, sailing backwards. And I wonder, I'd like you to think of the question, men and women, is that the direction you're traveling? Is that the direction you're sailing in life? But especially the direction that you're heading in the Christian life. I want to speak this morning in the meeting to the backslider. Remember that the backslider is one of the main themes, particularly of the book of Ruth chapter 1. The whole family, mother and father especially, were found in that condition. It is a major theme of this chapter. Remember Saul, the first king of Israel. The Bible says of Saul, he has turned back from following after me. And I wonder, is that a description of you? Some person in the meeting this morning turned back. I want to point out that it has happened to the greatest of God's servants. We're thinking there of backsliding. It has happened in the lives of some of the greatest men and women of God. Think of David, when he committed adultery with Bathsheba, then murdered her husband Uriah. He was away from God, lost the joy of his salvation. Think of Peter, the leader, one of the foremost of the apostles, standing warming himself at the world's fire in the house of the high priest. Was this a picture of his spiritual condition? So as you think of men like David and Peter being backslidden and falling into backslidden condition, the warning is clear, men and women. He that thinketh he standeth, let him take heed, lest he fall. And remember, you can come regularly to church and be in a backslidden condition, what the Bible calls the backslider of heart. You don't have to be out in the world. You can be like the church at Ephesus. Remember what the book of the Revelation says about the believers there? They had left their first love. Didn't have the love for Christ that once they did. And I want to emphasize that you can be a backslider and not know it. What a warning that is, men and women. You can be a backslider, cold of heart, and not even be aware of the fact. You only have to think of what the Bible says of Samson. He wist not that the Lord was departed from him. It was a sad thing that he didn't have the presence of God as once he did. But the saddest part of the story was he didn't know it. He didn't even realize it. So I want you, for a moment or two, men and women, to stop and consider this before you go any further. I want you to think of that. Remember that we're almost at the end of a year. It's good to take stock spiritually. And I want you to consider this time last year, the end of 2015. Could you say you were further on with God then than you were today? Reading your Bible more, spending more time in prayer, more involved in the work, doing a greater ministry of soul winning, coming out to the prayer meetings, more at the end of last year than you are at the end of this year. If that is the case, men and women, then you have gone back. Then you have to admit today that you've left your first love, that there's a little bit of, maybe even a big bit, of backsliding that has taken place in your life. You can cover it up in whatever way you want, and Christians are masters at that. Painting it over and glossing over the reality. But the thing is, if you're not walking as close to the Lord and spending the time with Him in communion, and if you're not as involved in the work as once you were, then here's something you have to recognize, something you have to acknowledge. Remember that the chapter has three main characters, and the three main characters, or three of the main characters of the chapter, are all women. Ruth, Orpah, and Naomi. Three people from the same family. A mother-in-law and two daughters-in-law. But they all had a different spiritual condition. Ruth was the new convert. We looked at that a little. Orpah was the empty professor. There was no reality to her profession of faith. And Naomi was the backslider. And we want to think a little bit more about Naomi today. You see, she says in verse 19, I went out. And that's the reality, men and women. She went out of Bethlehem, went out of Israel, and in doing that, she went out of the will of God. She went away from God's presence, and the ultimate end of all of that was she was out of fellowship with God. Naomi the backslider. Her life is a warning to us all. And I want you to see, men and women, the burden of the message today. I want you to understand that she paid. She paid for her backsliding. She paid a severe price. There was a cost to getting away from God. I want you to see today that she didn't prosper in her backslidden condition. She paid dearly for all her actions. The reality is, we could sum it up like this. Things didn't work out for her in Moab as she planned. She thought it would be for the betterment of herself and the family to make that move to the far country. But things didn't work out in Moab as she had thought or she had planned. The reality was, when she comes back to Bethlehem, as I said to you earlier, she was bankrupt. Bankrupt in Bethlehem. That's the title of the message that I want you to think about. They were financially bankrupt, but far worse than that, spiritually. Spiritually bankrupt. She lost much because of getting away from God. And I want you to see, I want to show you this morning something of the loss that Naomi particularly, but her whole family had as a result of their backsliding. Notice that she lost her joy. If you look at verse 20, she says, call me not Naomi, call me Mara. Do you remember the names, the meanings of the names? I've encouraged you to study them. Might be good to have a little quiz sometime, ask a few questions, see how much you've taken in and remembered. Naomi means pleasant. Mara means bitter. You only have to think of the wilderness wanderings of the children of Israel getting out to Mara, where the waters were bitter. And that was true of Naomi. The waters of life had made her bitter. But Mara means bitter. And what a contrast between the two. What a difference the backsliding made. This pleasant woman had now become bitter. She says, don't call me Mara, or don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara. Call me bitter. Why? Let me tell you why. Because of her backsliding, she had lost her joy, lost her happiness, lost the pleasant personality that once she had. No longer, remember how Vernon McGee called her Mary Sunshine? She was no longer Mary Sunshine, no longer marked by radiant joy. Now she's bitter and sad and miserable. Moab hadn't made her better. What the world did was made her bitter. And now she's a sad, bitter old woman. What a pathetic picture she is. But I wonder, is that true of somebody here today? Sad and bitter. Maybe bitter against the Lord. Remember, men and women, there's no more miserable person in all the world than a backslider. No more miserable person. And I wonder, is that you today? We have that little statement we sometimes use, enough religion to make you miserable. Wonder how many that sums up in the meeting this morning. The psalmist said, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. And you may be the Lord's today, but you're not happy. You don't have the fullness of joy that the Word of God speaks about. The things of the world haven't satisfied, they haven't brought the joy and the happiness that you thought that they would. As the hymn writer said, I tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but the waters failed. Do you remember what the Bible says about Nehemiah? It was the question of the king, Artaxerxes, as he sat on his throne and he looked down at his cupbearer. Why is thy countenance sad? Not a good question for every Christian. It's a bad testimony to have a sad countenance. There's occasions, of course, as is what was for Nehemiah. Sometimes we talk about having a face like a lurking spade. Can I ask you today, have you lost the joy of the Lord? David prayed the prayer, Psalm 51, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. He hadn't lost his salvation. Remember that. He didn't ask the Lord to give him back his salvation. Despite all that he had done, hadn't lost his salvation. You can't if you're truly saved. But he had lost the joy. And I want to ask you, men and women, are you the same? Lost the joy of the Lord. Remember, no matter where you are, and no matter who you're with, regardless of how much success you have or how much money you make, you'll never be happy. You'll never have joy if you're backslidden, not walking with the Lord and out of His will. You can't have joy in your heart if you know that you're doing wrong, if you're sinning against God, if you have a burden of guilt, if your conscience is troubling you or accusing you. You can't have joy in those circumstances. So here's one of the things Naomi lost by being in a backslidden condition. I want you to see as well she lost her family, not just her joy. Here's something very solemn. Remember that when they went to Moab, there was four that left. She took her husband and her two boys with her. But she came back without them. Came back without them all. She was the only one, the only member of that original family to return again to Bethlehem. Think of it. Think of what her backsliding cost her. Cost her family. Her whole family. And how tragic that is, men and women. What a warning. Things did not work out for Naomi and Moab as she had thought. I want you to remember, men and women, that backsliding doesn't just affect you. There are consequences, serious consequences for others. For example, your family. Backsliding will affect your family. I'll show you a little bit more of that in a moment. Affect your friends. It will affect the church. Do damage to the testimony of the church. Remember what Nathan said to David on that occasion when he confronted him about his sin. That he gave the enemies of God an opportunity to blaspheme his great name. So I want you to see that backsliding affects others. Remember that. Never forget it. If you think of the family, the lesson here is you can lose your family by backsliding. Here, the family was lost by death. The whole family taken away into eternity. Do you remember those words? She was left. She was left of her husband and then left of her two sons. And what did Naomi leave behind her in Moab? She left behind three graves. Of those that were nearest and dearest to her in this world. It's often asked, men and women, why does God permit children to die? Why does God permit family members to die young in life? And remember, I'm speaking today as one who many years ago passed through that experience. When one year we lost my dad and my brother and my uncle. So the question is often asked, why does God permit those things to happen? The death of children, the death of family members. It's asked, is it a judgment? A judgment of God. And sometimes, and I underline that, I emphasize, not always, sometimes, maybe it is. But there's another word, men and women, that has to be used as well, and that is chastisement. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. In other words, there's times the Lord uses events of life to correct our waywardness and to challenge our stubbornness. You think of Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Always remember that those words were written to the church, to Christians. They're often preached in the gospel. There's nothing wrong with doing that, but keep in mind that the first reference or the first application of those words is to the church of Jesus Christ. And sometimes when the Lord knocks on the door of a church, and sometimes when the Lord knocks on the door of a person's heart and life, he has to knock loud, and he has to knock hard. Don't you do the same? You know somebody's in the house, but they're maybe not listening, or there's too much else going on, too much other noise, they're too far down the house, they can't hear you. So you knock a little louder. Well, sometimes the Lord has to do the same. And that's what the Lord was doing here. In this family that left Bethlehem and went to Moab, he was knocking loudly. He took away the husband. You thought that would have spoken. And then he took away the children. And the question, men and women, that naturally flows from that to every backslider in the meeting is, what does God have to take from you before you come back to him? Before you listen to his voice and obey his call? Take your health, take your job, take your money, as it was here maybe. Take away some loved ones. But remember that a backslider can lose their children in another way. Lose them to the world, lose them to sin, to the devil, and maybe lose them to hell. If you are backslidden, then your child has not been prayed for as it ought to be, not been witnessed to, not been given the example and the challenge in your life that they ought to have. Remember the story of the boy that went out after his dad one night. The dad went out to go to the pub, and he went down the street in the snow, and just as he turned to go into the door of the public house, he looked behind him, and there was the lad following him down the street, and he was jumping from one footprint to the next. And the father said, what are you doing, son? He said, Dad, just following in your footsteps. How it spoke to him. And how many Christians need to think about that? Children, following in your footsteps. You're not being a good influence. And as a result of that, children get caught up in the things of this world. Do you remember Lot? Lot lost his children to the fires of God's vengeance. Why was that? Because of his backsliding. He wasn't a good influence, wasn't a good example. He was a man out of the will of God down there in Sodom, pitched his tent towards Sodom. Beware, men and women. Beware. A backslider can lose their family in a number of different ways. And I pray that that comes with solemnity and with power to your heart today. The other one I'll mention is that by being down there in Moab, she lost time. If you look at verse 4 of the chapter, It tells us there at the end of the verse, they dwelled there about 10 years. How long was Naomi in Moab? How long was she away from God, away from Bethlehem, out of the will of God and out of fellowship with the Lord? How long did it last? The answer is, men and women, 10 years. Think of that. 10 long, unprofitable years down there in the land of Moab. You know, the hymn writer, Mr. McCrae, would often sing the words, wasted years, wasted years. Do you know anything about that today? Not just wasted minutes and hours and days, but wasted years of your life. Not living for God. Not walking close to Him. That these were wasted years for Naomi. Years that were of no profit. Do you remember the words of Solomon? Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes. When he's thinking of his life and all that he has accomplished and all that he has given his time and his talents and his energy to, he laments over and over and over again, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That word vanity means to be without profit. There's no profit in the things that I've been engaged. Why did Solomon say that, men and women? Why did he look back over his life with that great lamentation? Despite all the wealth that he'd had, despite all the power and position, despite all that he had possessed in his lifetime, why did he grieve about it? Vanity and vexation of spirit. I'll tell you why. He was writing as a man looking back upon a life that was backslidden, a life that he had lived not in fellowship with God. And that's the only way that you can sum up such a life, men and women. And I want you to know today, if you live your life to the end, and when you come to the end of your life and you face eternity and you look back on a life that you've lived away from God, there's only one way to describe it. In the words of Solomon, it'll all be vanity. No matter what you accomplish, no matter what wealth you accumulate, to live a life out of the will of God and out of fellowship with God, an entire life, all of those years wasted that could have been given to God and given to the spread of His gospel, it'll all be vanity and vexation of spirit. Can I say to the backslider today, can I ask you the question? How many years have you lost, wasted? How many years of vanity? How many years of living without profit? Living without a profitable purpose, serving God and doing His will. How many of those years have you had? Could it be like Naomi, there'd been 10, a decade, maybe even more? And the question is, are you going to waste more time? Consider it carefully, men and women. Waste more years. Another year almost closes. How quickly the time has gone. The year of our Lord, 2016, almost at an end. Another year of life has passed. As in James's words, so true, your life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Well, as another year almost closes, can I ask you, men and women, are you going to finish the year the way you started it? As a backslider, in a backslidden condition, wasting more time. You know, the saddest death that any Christian could ever die is to die a backslider. To go out to meet the Lord, having lived your life for years, not walking with Him, not doing His will. There's no sadder death than any Christian could ever have. And I want you to think about that. Will you persist in your backslidden state until you die in that condition? Naomi's loss, men and women, here's only a little of it. There are other things we could be, that could be mentioned. But the emphasis is this. What I want to stress to you, there's a price to backsliding. There's a cost. And it cost her dearly. And I want you to think of what price you have paid already for being out of fellowship with God. And what price will you continue to pay? How greater it will become if you'll continue in that condition. Can I say this in conclusion? If this is you today, this is your condition, is this, if this is where you are as you sit in this morning meeting and you ask the question, what must I do? Well, the chapter gives the answer. If I could give it to you maybe as a summing up of the message and a summing up of the chapter. What does the chapter say the backslider should do? You should return. Return to the Lord. You look there at verse 6. And then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. Remember, Moab pictures the world. Here's the returning backslider. And I want to urge you, return. Return to the Lord. To Bethlehem. The house of bread pictures the church of Christ. And it says in verse 21, the words that we took for our text today, it says, I went out full and the Lord hath brought me home again. And the message, the plea, the invitation of the Lord to every backslider in the meeting is come. Come home again. We're going to sing the words in a minute. Wasted many precious years. Lord, I'm coming home. And I want to urge you to do the same. You return. Return to the Lord today. Don't continue out of His will. Don't continue as a backslider. Don't remain in that sad condition. We exhort you, men and women, to get restored to the Lord and to His fellowship this Sabbath morning. In the book of Jeremiah, and remember that one of the great messages of Jeremiah is to the backslider, particularly thinking of backsliding Israel in his day. Return ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. There's a promise. A promise to the backslider in the meeting. A promise of healing. The Lord will put His hand of healing spiritually upon your life. And there's a promise of restoration. Return ye backsliding, and I will heal your backsliding. Promise of restoration. And I urge you to claim it in this meeting today. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. 269.